using Python. Yes, thanks, Yelma.
Yeah, thank you very much. This isn't going to be a very long talk. For the past year, I've been working on getting the scripting inside of Samba 4 ported from JavaScript to Python. And I'd like to talk about why I've done that and a little bit of an introduction into Python and Python scripting using Samba 4. So why would we want to use scripting at all? It's less portable than things like C. And you don't actually get any error checking of your codes until the moment you execute it, and things like that. But you do actually get quicker development cycles, usually. And it's also easier to understand because you can let the scripting language take care of an awful lot of stuff, such as memory management and things like that. And there's also usually a lot more people out there who know scripting languages than people who can deal with things like C, which are much more complex. So that was the original reason for introducing Samba, Samba scripting. Twitch, added embedded JavaScript to Samba, I think 3 years ago, something like that. Originally for SWAT, the Samba web-based interface. Samba 3 also had Python bindings at one point. Tim Potter did a lot of maintenance and work on that, but I think they've been removed in Samba 3.2 because of lack of maintenance, and there were regressions, and there was nobody who would actually be able to fix this. The Python bindings were just there for external people who wanted to use the Samba Python bindings. There wasn't any core infrastructure in Samba, which was used by this. So Samba 4 had the embedded JavaScript, like I mentioned earlier. It was used by SWAT, also by the provisioning script, which sets up all of the Samba databases and things like that after you install Samba and before you want to start using the server. So we originally had JavaScript, but there were a couple of problems with it, in which I will get into later. We've now switched to Python. Python is a build dependency, and as I mentioned in the other talk I did with Andrew, Python is now a build dependency, so you need to have Python and the Python development headers installed if you want to use Samba, and if you want to use Samba 4 and run the provisioning and things like that. The build dependency is pretty light because Python runs on an awful lot of platforms. And you only need to have standard libc and a GNU compiler or any other compiler to compile it. We switched to Python at this point in the development cycle of Samba 4 because the longer we would have waited, the more code would be written in JavaScript, and the bigger the task would be to switch to Python. So we've actually wasted quite some development effort trying to switch to Python, whereas we could have worked on protocol stuff, but then we would have had a lot of work in the future converting from JavaScript to Python, even more than we had now. So why would we go for Python rather than JavaScript or Perl or Lua or whatever? Python comes with batteries included. That's the, I think, the marketing term they always use. There are a lot of standard functions that you can just use if you have only Python. Functions for string manipulation, network connections, DNS lookups, HTTP, SMTP, they all have a very small implementation in the standard Python library. It's very easy to create bindings for Python, so it's very easy to take some C library, add some magic, and then you can use it from Python. And because of that, there are also a lot of libraries out there who have Python bindings. There's already a large amount of users and developers who are using Python. for example, in university, there are quite a few universities who teach students Python as the first language. Python is also a lot better scripting language than JavaScript. JavaScript is quite similar to Java and quite similar to C, whereas Python has things like nested functions, modularity, and whereas in at least in our JavaScript implementation, if you wanted to add one module to the JavaScript interpreter, you had to link it into it. If you wanted to add bindings for example, the DCRPC library. And Python also has things like functional programming. I'm not sure if we actually want to use that sort of stuff inside of Samba in order to keep the code understandable, but it's there. And there are also more development tools available for Python. There's a debugger that comes with Python by default. There's a profiler. And there are tools to do code coverage analysis. Whereas for JavaScript, we would have to write them ourselves, which would take time away we could spend on implementing all of those protocols that Microsoft has now documented. And I think there's enough there to keep us busy for the next couple of years. So Python is a high-level general-purpose scripting language. You can use it in a couple of ways: object-oriented, structural, like C, or functional. It does all the memory management for you. We've got some magic to make sure that Python and Talloc can work together very nicely, so that you don't have to worry about memory management yourself. There is a Python standard, and there are several implementations, I think 7 or 8, some of which are written in Java or C# and things like that. It's very portable, as I mentioned, and it's as old as Samba, actually, or about as old. It was created in 1991. And it's being maintained currently by the Python Foundation, or at least the reference implementation is. And it has a DPL compatible license. So here's what it looks like. It's very similar to a lot of other scripting languages. One of the special things about Python is that they don't actually use brackets or things like that to open and close scope. And they use indentation. So here you create a function. And whereas in C you would open a bracket, or a, I don't know how to call that. If you open a function,
a curly
brace, yeah, something like that. And then there's a tab in this case. So every time you go one level below, you add another amount of white space. And Python is already used for a lot of other interesting things in the free software world. The original BitTorrent client was written in Python. Mailman is written in Python. There's some version control stuff written in Python. Track is a bug control system. And there's a bunch of GNOME and KDE applications that are written in Python. So in the last year, we've changed Samba 4 to use Python internally. Piddle can now generate Python bindings from the IDL. So we didn't actually have to write separate bindings for this. I actually based it on the old generators that we had for JavaScript, so that was very easy to do. We used Swig, which is something I'll get into a little bit later, for most of the other libraries. And we've also written the bindings for some of these things manually. The JavaScript code is still there, but we don't use it by default anymore. We still have tests for it to make sure that that it doesn't regress, but we may want to remove it at some point. Maybe there's a use for it. So, and as long as it doesn't regress, I don't think it actually there's much reason to do this yet. But maybe people have other opinions about that. I don't know. So far, we have created bindings for the following libraries in SAMBA 4. We now actually have bindings for all of the DC-RPC modules. For LDB and TDB, the registry library libnet, and we include unit tests whenever we do something. So this all works. It's not just that there are bindings. And we also try to keep things Pythonic. So we try to make sure that the bindings make sense to Python users, not just that there are one-to-one conversions from C to Python. We already use this stuff for provisioning. And there's a Summer of Code student who's going to work on an SMB client implementation in Python, which could be interesting, at least as a proof of concept. It may also be interesting to have as the SMB client at some point, but we'll see how that works out. Then there's SWAT. It doesn't actually look like the Summer of Code student who was going to do this is going to make it. So we may want to drop SWAT, depending on what people think. And there's a Summer of Code student going to work on some of the GTK front ends that there are for SAMBA. For example, the registry editor. And there's a maybe a user manager, depending on what sort of things the likewise folks have already worked on, because there's probably not much sense in having a lot of overlap there. But this is just one of the examples of using Python with TDB. This is actually an implementation of TDB dump in Python, re-implementation. So we import the required libraries. We open the TDB file with a file name specified on the command line, and we loop through all of the items and we print them out.
Next to the emails, the symbols next to the
these ones, yes. Those should be spaces. That's LaTeX playing silly games with me.
Yes.
I think actually Perl, the next version of Perl is going to have Unicode operators or something.
Yes, they do.
But yes, this is the actually the first thing I implemented in Python. It's also possible to use LDB. So in this case, we would we add one element, and then we search. So this line just adds one entry, I think it's called in LDAP, to the LDB, and here we search. And we're trying to find it, and if we find it, we print it out. We print the DN. And since LDB supports LDAP, it's also very trivial to use this these Python LDB bindings to contact an LDAP server. And this is actually the easiest to use LDAP interface in Python right now. There are a couple of other ones, but they just use the C API directly. And the C API isn't really easily usable for this sort of thing. So we now also have Python bindings for all of the DCRPC stuff, including SAMR, LSA, Spool SS even, although I haven't tested it, but it should work. The registry, things like that. And this is one way you can look up the SID for a specific domain. So you make a connection and specify what interface you want to connect to and the smb.conf file you want to load.
The smb.conf file is a bit strange. So that you have to specify that when you want to use SAMR
So it requires this because, for example, for NCAL RPC, it has to know the path in which the NCAL RPC files are found.
Does it default to the normal SMB.com location, etc., and the private SMB.com?
Not yet, but we can make it that way.
So Python has periodic arguments.
Yes, Python has optional arguments. So.
But it's not a named argument. So if we add a third argument there, if you add a third argument, then you'd always have to supply an SMB.com.
No, you can just say SMB.configuration equals none, and it will just do the right thing for you.
But you'd still have to say SMB.conf equals, whereas if we always had named arguments.
There are actually named arguments. If you want to, you can use the names. So one of the things that happens within Python often is if you have a function with 20 arguments, people always specify them by name, but they can also be specified by position.
By position, yeah. It's just as an interface, sort of having to specify the location of SMB.conf is, it's, might almost be better if it can get it out of an environment variable or something.
Mm-hmm. We would have to agree on a default location for the Intel RPC endpoint
network. Not so much that as I think it loading sb.conf is fine, but none of our other APIs you specify the sb.conf to use. We just get it out of when it's compiled. The libraries are compiled.
Hmm.
Anyway, sorry.
Yes. Well, we can certainly do something like that. There are also a couple of other quirks in here which we should be able to fix. For example, the LSA strings. Let's back up a minute. This is where we make the connection to the actual remote server. Other than NCAR RPC, you can also specify NCHN, IP, TCP, for example, and a remote server, for example, a Windows server. And then you get a handle to the interface, and you can execute things on that. So, for example, you can connect to SEMAR, you get a SEMAR handle back. And if an error occurs, it will raise an exception. Since all of these functions usually return W error exit return codes or anti-status, the PIDL will generate codes which checks the return value and checks if it's an OK return value. In this case, it will simply return the handle, and if it's an error, it will raise an appropriate exception. And if you then execute this code, it will trace back. Unless you actually add code that handles the exception.
What happens if you have more than one out argument? I'm looking at the last one.
It will return.
At the lookup domain one.
Sorry?
For example, the lookup domain. I mean, you might have more than one out mm-hmm. parameter.
It will return a tuple.
Okay, yeah, that's easy.
So those strings, I guess a better interface would be that if you just passed a string for the second argument domain name, it would convert it to a LSA string automatically.
Yes.
Right.
Although one of the problems with the LSA strings is that you have to specify both the size and the actual string. So if something is manipulating the size or the actual string, you have to specify a size which is big enough for their new string to fit in. And there are various issues like that, but we should work on
that. That U in front of the Samba domain string, that means Unicode?
Yep. Basically, what we do is we convert from the Unix car set, in which everything inside of Samba is encoded, into Python Unicode objects. And whenever we pass it back in, we convert back.
And so internally, Python stores it as some sort of Unicode, which we then convert to UTF-16 to put it onto the wire. Or does Python happen to use UTF-16?
It depends on what platform you run it on. On Windows, it's UTF-16. And on Unix, it's usually, I think, UTF-8.
Right, so then our libraries then convert from the Python one into the UTF-16 or whatever we need.
Mm. Yeah, and I think most of the other things are straightforward. So you specify that you want to look up a domain with a specified name, and we print out the SID that we found for this domain. This actually ran out of the page, but I'll show this a bit later during the demo. It's very easy to write unit tests and tests for the various RPC interfaces using Python. I'll just bring up an editor to show this. And a bigger font. This is readable?
Yeah.
Okay. And now it. Okay. So basically, we import the right RPC interface, and we import the class for test cases. And we specify that for every test, we want to have a connection to the WinRec pipe. And then you can add very simple functions. Which start with test underscore and which do one thing. And there's no need to test for empty status explicitly because it will simply raise an exception if something doesn't work. And so this makes it very easy to write a whole bunch of unit tests for one specific interface. I think Evans didn't like me alt-tapping. There we go. Okay, I actually had a demo planned. And let me show some of the documentation we can generate automatically. Because there are tools for this in Python. This is one, but there's also one which looks a bit nicer, but I couldn't get that one to run. So for example, if you want to look at the documentation of the Unix info pipe, it has only two classes. This one is the actual interface. And here specifies what you have to pass in order to create a connection with a little bit of explanation. And these are the actual methods you can run on the interface. So for example, in order to get information about a list of users, you specify an array of UIDs, and it will also return an array of objects with information about the various users. Okay, so is that readable? Is this readable at all, or should I?
You can increase the font size for it, followed by this external.
Sorry?
Is it an external?
I think so, yes.
Control right mouse button.
Control. Didn't know that.
Me neither. Just spell that
for my. Okay, so for example, we can check. We can connect to this Unix info pipe. Import Unix info. We create a connection. And there's that. Location again. Now we have a connection. Doesn't show an awful lot of information. And now we can get the information about, for example, the first 1,000 users, first 1,000 UIDs.
Does Python, is con like a dictionary, can we look up the methods that are available? So if you actually type print con.getpwtab.
If I use a different, it can actually do that, but I'm not sure if it's available in the standard Python interpreter. Okay. There's something called IPython, which can complete pretty much anything in Python.
Okay.
You can call it built-in dir on it, though.
Sorry?
You can do dir with con
together. Okay, let me try that. Unix info. Yes. thanks. Python actually exposes the documentation on the various methods as an attribute as well. That's the __ doc one. So now I can, for example, do get PWU ID like this for the first three UIDs. And I now get an array with three elements, which should actually convert these names to something a little bit more sensible. But I haven't found the time to do that yet. But now we can, for example, check the first element, and then the shell. Ah. You fixed this, I think. So usually you would see the name of the shell here, but I'm using an older build of SAMBA 4, which doesn't have that yet.
So we're hooked up to WinBind now for the Unix info client, so we do the default WinBind settings. You can set it up to
WinBind. Okay.
Just like in SAMBA.
Right.
But you get the idea, I think. Let's see, where was I? And the other example, which was, I think, in Python somewhere. This is the other example I just showed you. I still need to fix this to actually convert any DOM sit object into a string, but I haven't found the time to do that yet either. This is actually the code that will connect to somewhere and open the domain. Let's see. There we go. We create most of the bindings using SWIG, which is a very strange language, but it's very powerful. It can actually take C header files and generate Python bindings from it, and also try and make them a little bit more Pythonic than just one-to-one mappings. Yes?
Is there any chance we get around to get those guys to fix the warnings they generate?
I've been trying to do that. Some of those are actually caused by Python itself. The Python guys didn't have any const on a lot of their string inputs. They fixed that in later versions, but most of us still build with, I think, Python 2.4, which doesn't have most of that. In later versions of Python, most of that is fixed. And I've also been trying to get them to output smaller C files, because currently if you create a two-line SWIG file, it will create a, I don't know, 2,000-line C file from that, which isn't very, very nice, especially if you have to debug something inside of that. It is also possible to write Python bindings from the C bindings, to write manual Python bindings in C. much like we did for the JavaScript stuff. But it would have taken us a lot more time. I think we currently have about 150 C functions covered by this, excluding all of the RPC stuff. So these are some of the things that don't have Python bindings yet. There hasn't been a lot of reason to do this yet, but there probably will be in the future. The Summer of Code student who is going to work on SMB client is probably going to create Python bindings for SMB and for NetBIOS, so that would be really nice to have in. Well, LDAP we somewhat already have because we have LDB, but I think there's maybe a couple of things that aren't exposed by the LDB API. And this is where you can get the bindings. LDB and TDB are buildable standalone, and the Python bindings for LDB and TDB are also included in the standalone builds. And I've pushed packages into Debian and Ubuntu for both of those. We actually checked the Debian popularity contest a couple of days ago, and there were, I think, 15 people or something who were actually using these things. I'm not sure for what, but apparently it has some use. Especially TDB is very easy to use from Python because it has the same interface as a Python dictionary, a standard object. So it's just a dictionary which is on disk. Could actually be interesting to hook CTDB support into that and have a very large global dictionary. I don't know. And for all of the other stuff, you need Samba 4, which isn't packaged yet, but I've been working with one of the Debian maintainers on getting it packaged, and hopefully somebody from Fedora, they're not here, but hopefully somebody from Fedora will also step up and package Samba 4 for Fedora, and likewise for Novell and SUSE. Well, learning more, there's the Python website, which is pretty good. The C API is fully documented. If you want to create bindings, the command line Python utility PyDoc you can use on the module name, and it will just give you a little bit like a man page documentation of the Python module. And then there's PyDoctor, which is the HTML output I just showed you. And maybe you can put some public API docs up on samba.org in order to make it a little bit more easy for people to find this sort of stuff. Yeah, I'm not quite sure if what else I'm going to work on is in this area. Maybe you can port it to Samba 3 if the C APIs are synchronized between the two. For example, LDB and TDB are already in Samba 3, so it makes sense to expose the Python bindings there as well and make it a little bit easier for people to install them. For the other stuff, it probably doesn't make a lot of sense yet because we have to get all of the libraries synchronized first. And we need to make sure that it stays maintained. But for Samba 4, that's not going to be hard because some of the core infrastructure already uses Python. So if we regress, then we'll notice soon enough. And of course, any help is welcome. Or if you need help getting some of these Python bindings to work, just let me know or ask on IRC. Any questions? Mm-hmm.
Samba 3. We were sort of discussing yesterday getting libevents back. We've got libevents and then libcry raw in Samba 3, then potentially the SMB client could be in common between Samba 3 and Samba 4 on top of Python, SMB client in Python. I'd really like to see a scripting-based SMB client so that administrators have a way of scripting up SMB file transfers. And I think you could do some quite neat things with that.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
Anyone else interested in sort of a scripted SMB client, or is that just me that has this perverse idea?
One of the other things we may be able to do, if there are enough people interested in this sort of stuff, is create a little section on SAML.org with various simple scripts that people use. For example, the DCRPC stuff can be quite useful if you want to automate doing things over DCRPC.
Are there any examples of
I think the unit tests in SAML 4 at the moment are the best examples. They're tests for each function. So they're just three or four lines that try and use one specific DCRPC function.
Is it an accident that in the actual make file of SAML 4 there is no target to install the Python modules? Or
yes. It's a little bit intentional. One of the problems with Python modules is that they're shared objects or shared modules. And at the moment, we don't have a way to build them reliably across all of the platforms that we build on. That's why I haven't enabled doing that yet.
Okay. So how do I find out what part of the Python code which is spread throughout the source I need to get the modules to work? If I want to install it in some location and not use the source tree?
We will install SMB Python, which is just a binary which links against the Python libraries and provides the standard Python interpreter UI. And in the future, we will also install all of those .so files.
Okay.
So that's something we're still working on. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jelmer.